Actually, what happened was initially people started contacting us after reading in the media or seeing it on TV or listening to the radio and learning of the story. They started contacting us, and we began an investigation. Unlike some other firms, we didn't rush to the courthouse to file a lawsuit based only on media reports. We started an investigation, and that investigation included writing to Johns Hopkins and asking Hopkins to provide certain information that had not yet been disclosed publicly, and also noting the deposition of Hopkins with a subpoena in order to learn additional information so that we could conduct our investigation.
So, Andy, what were you all looking for from Hopkins? And then, I guess, tell us a little bit about the response you got.
Sure. The information that had come out publicly from Hopkins was very limited. We wanted additional information from Hopkins on behalf of our clients and other victims in order to determine exactly what happened. We called upon Hopkins in a letter to the president this past Friday to provide us assurances that patients' privacy rights were being protected and to disclose additional information about what Hopkins knew about the Dr. Levy matter. And Hopkins provided that to us today in a written letter from both the dean of the medical faculty and also the president of the hospital.
And what in there, I guess, what did they say to you? And I understand that they talked about the actual recording device possibly and about some of the conditions.
Correct. Hopkins provided a very thoughtful and appropriate response. In a three-page letter, the dean of the medical faculty and the president of the hospital provided new details that had not been publicly available. Specifically, they advised that an employee of Hopkins had noticed that Dr. Levy had worn a device which looked like a writing pen around his neck while examining patients, and that this particular employee believed it to be a camera, and then reported that to her supervisors. That is information that had not been previously disclosed by Hopkins.
No, you were also looking, and you talked about, you know, protecting the rights of your clients that have come and the people, the victims that have come to all of you. So what else were you looking for Hopkins that they talked about, I guess, when it came to conditions?
Sure. One of the things that we wanted to ensure was that the information and videos and images that Dr. Levy had captured are being protected from disclosure. Hopkins confirmed and gave its assurance that the information is in the hands of the police and federal authorities, and that that information is being kept strictly confidential. We also asked Hopkins to advise us what procedures it had in place to ensure the privacy of other patients is protected. And in this letter, Hopkins made assurances regarding its privacy program and that it should be sufficient to protect other patients.
Andy, how important was it that Hopkins at least confirmed what had been rumored, that he had used a pen around his neck to try and video record, videotape these women?
We think that it's very important that Hopkins has confirmed this. One of the things that we're hearing from our clients and all their victims of this is that they want more information. They want to know how this event unfolded, what Hopkins did prior to this event to protect patients' privacy, and what it's doing now to prevent something like this from happening again. So hearing from Hopkins more information, more details about what happened is in some ways comforting to our clients, because previously there had really been silence on behalf of Hopkins.
How are you expecting this thing to play out? I mean, one class action's already been filed, but how are you seeing in your years of law practice, how is this thing going to shake down? And most of us would assume this will not end up in any kind of court case, that there will be a settlement of some kind.
Well, we think that what's going to happen is that the federal authorities are currently working to identify victims of Dr. Levy's and Hopkins' misconduct. At some point, when the facts come out, lawyers and their clients will have to determine what's best for them individually. It would be surprising to me if a case like this eventually went to trial against Hopkins.
We've been hearing at least the women that have been willing to come public have been in their 20s and 30s and 40s. I know there's been some concern that there could have been, because he had been in practice for so long, and a lot of young women end up going to see a gynecologist at a point where they start to menstruate. So are you talking about some people possibly, or some of these victims, being young?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've spoken to a number of clients who started seeing Dr. Levy when they were minors, generally in the 13, 14-year age range, and then continue to see him into their adult years. So unfortunately, we're hearing from potential victims as young as 13 and as old as people in their 60s and 70s.
And I know that the city police earlier this week said about 2,000 potential victims had contacted them. Are you seeing a continuing group of people coming into your law office?
Yes, we've spoken to hundreds of women, probably in the 250 range, and the calls are still coming in. Currently, we're getting about 8 to 10 to 12 calls a day from people who have heard about this and wanted to find out more information about what's going on.